From Anshe Sfar Beth El Emeth Congregation, it's time to take 10 Minutes for Torah with Rabbi Joel Finkelstein.
Welcome to our discussion of Parshat Truma, Shul as Mikdash Ma'at, Shul as a mini holy temple. It says in Parshat Truma, Vasul Mikdash Vashachati B'docham, should make for me a sanctuary and I will live among them, among the Jewish people. The Gemara Megillah says that in terms of making a Mikdash and making a sanctuary, Pasuk in Yechezkel 11:16 says, Vayilan L'Mikdash Ma'at, that I will be to the Jewish people like a small sanctuary. What does that mean? Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Eilu Batek Nesiyot, Vatem Jashot, Shibba Bavel. That the Gemara in Megillah 29a says that this means that a shul or a base medrash, place where people daven and they learn, these are small sanctuaries. Even when they're in Babylonia, they are still sanctuaries. Interestingly enough, Rabbi Elazar Amar, Zeh Beis Rabbeinu Shibba Bavel. No, it's the house of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, the great sage, of Rav in Babylonia, the great authority in the yeshiva in Babylonia. That's what it means. That's the sanctuary. The sanctuary is the rabbi's house, the rabbi's base medrash, the rabbi's yeshiva. So we have two interpretations. One is that if you want to find the sanctuary, you go to the places of study, the places of gathering, places of prayer, even in exile, and it's still some sort of a sanctuary. The other is that the place of learning, that is the greatest sanctuary of them all. Now, how serious is this? Is a sanctuary, is a base Knesset, a shul, is it actually some kind of a real mikdash? We'll have to get to that later. Then the Gemara goes on in Megillah and says that Darash Rava, what does it mean in Tehillim? Shem Ma'ona Yitalanu, God, you were for us a sanctuary, a palace, a dwelling place. What does it mean? Beis Knesset and Beis Medrash. Now, which one is better? A Beis Knesset, a shul, or a Beis Medrash, a place of learning? Rabbi says, Mireish Havoy Gamirna, Veveita, Matzlin Vevei Knishta. I used to learn over here, and I would daven over there in the shul. But then, when I heard that Hashem Mahoti Ma'on Beitecha, that God loves the places of where it's a sanctuary of God, it's God's house. Garisna Bevei Knishta. Since it's the shuls are so wonderful, I only learned in the shul that the best place is the shul. That the shul is actually even better than the place of learning. If we ask, what sort of sanctuary is it? Is our shul like Yerushalayim? Well, there's another suggestion as well. Daniel Blazer of Akapa Omer in the Gemara Megillah, Atin of Akhnezi of the Timur Shashi Babavel, she Kavu Beres Yisrael, Shneva Kitavobi Arim Chamel of Ayam Yavo. He says that one day the shuls and the places of learning will be picked up and moved to Jerusalem, moved to Israel, the land of Israel. So why? Because it says that just like God will come like Mount Tabor in the mountains, which is an unusual mountain, and like Mount Carmel, which is unusual, it's on the coast of Israel and just juts out. So he says, Mount Tabor and Mount Carmel, they were only temporary special places. When Elijah was on Mount Carmel, when Deborah was on Mount Tabor, and yet, they learn Torah there, so they're established a shul, which they're always learning Torah there. Certainly, they are. They're like the land of Israel. So here we're saying that the place where you daven, you learn is like Israel. So, is place where you daven and learn, is it like a mikdash? Is it like the sanctuary itself? Or is it more like the land of Israel? And this idea that the shul one day transported to Israel means that there's sort of an extraterritorial value of a shul. When you're in a shul, you're not in a shul, you're in Israel. You're in a holy land. You can't take this too far. Some people before the war in Europe, they said, well, Jerusalem is the shtetl that I live in. Jerusalem is in Lithuania. Jerusalem is in Berlin. And of course, we know that it proved to be wrong, so you can't take it too far. But there is an idea that to some degree, this extraterritorial rights in a shul actually belongs to the land of Israel. Then you ask, well, what is a shul and what is a sanctuary? So the Gemara says, no matter where the Jews go, the divine presence comes with us. And even in Babylonia. So really what this is all about is the divine presence. And the rabbis say, well, in Babylonia, where is the divine presence? So they say there's a certain shul that has rocks, that part of the building was picked up from Israel, and they brought it to Babylonia, which again shows that connection between the diaspora and Babylonia. They one time they heard Asya Shechina Shamu Kol Riksha Kamu Akumu. One time, the father of Shmuel and Levi were sitting in the shul, and it was destroyed and was rebuilt, and the divine presence came, and they were so amazed they had to leave. So divine presence can come. What is a shul? A shul is a place that's like the temple. A shul is a place that's like Israel, and a shul is a place where the divine presence comes even today. There is a Medrash Rabbah that says in Bereishis, if there weren't shuls and schools, God would not put His presence in this world. That's what it's all about. Rambam, in fact, says that it's a mitzvah of everybody who's Jewish to make sure that there's a sanctuary in their neighborhood, and you have to build it. And to put a Sefer Torah in there with the Nevi'im, with the prophets we can read from in the scriptures. So what does that mean? That the sanctuary receives its holiness, as Rav Schachter explains, from the presence of the Torah in that shul. That's part of it. And therefore, you have to build it. You have to build it in a high place in the city. And what else? He says you have to have a bima in the middle, and there you read the Torah, or the person who's giving musar to the people, who's giving admonishment to the people, should stand on that bima. In other words, the synagogue is functional to create Torah reading and to have preaching, to have a rabbi who gives people preaching. And there's a special seating arrangement. According to the Rambam, if it's a shul, then in the front there's a kinyan, there are elders, both perhaps older of age, and of wisdom, perhaps, rabbis, scholars, are supposed to sit in the front and face everyone else. Why? Because that's part of a shul. Part of a shul is to experience the rabbis, to experience the elders. And the people sit in front of them, and the chazan is supposed to face east like everyone else. And therefore, you have to give honor to this shul. You can't do certain things in a shul, you have to treat it with great honor and respect, can't use it as a shortcut. And he says, we also, you often, that they put lights in there, they put a little mat so people shouldn't sit on the floor. In other words, there's an idea, just like the great sanctuary in Jerusalem, the Beis HaMikdash had to be beautiful, Oz v'hadol lefanav, that great glory is in front of God, so to a shul has to have some glory, some beauty as well. But finally, if you ask, what is the status of a shul? Is it a Torah law? Is it a Torah view a shul is holy? So there are three opinions brought in the Sdei Chemed, Reb Chaim Yechezkel Medini of 19th century Jerusalem. He says, some say, yeah, there's a verse, so it's a mikdash ma'at, it's a Torah law. Some say, no, it's a rabbinic verse. Any of the verses that they quote, they're just putting our hat on that verse, but it's not really Torah law, it's a rabbinic law. And some say, it's not a rabbinic law, it's a communal responsibility, it's a need of a community, it's not a mitzvah, it's a community need, the community needs it. Now, what happens if you need to destroy the synagogue? Let's say you need to sell it because nobody lives there, they have to go somewhere else. Neighborhood changes. So do we say that it's like a lulav? when you're done with the shul, you're done with the lulav, you take the lulav, put it in a bag, and throw it away. Or do we say, no, it's like the fill-in bag with a Torah cover. You can't throw away the Torah cover. You have to bury it in the ground. You have to put it in a room somewhere and let it stay there forever. Geniza. So what is a shul? Is a shul simply a place where people daven? Or no, a shul is a place where it's connected to the Torah. We mentioned before that inside the shul is the Torah, just like the Beis HaMikdash. There's an Aron Kodesh. And that's the holiness. Oh, it's connected to the holiness of a Torah? That you can't throw away. So it's a debate in the Ran on the Rif in Megillah about this point. So we see that this tremendous sanctity of a shul, of a synagogue, and also places where we learn. It's holy because there's a Torah there. It's holy because God promised us that He'd give us a small sanctuary, that His presence would come there. There's a debate as to whether the sanctity of it is a Torah law, or rabbinic law, or something else. And we said that the sanctity is something that brings divine presence, and it can be extraterritorial presence there. Either it becomes like a Beis HaMikdash, maybe it's like the land of Israel, or it's simply a place where the divine presence rests in some ways, just like the old Beis HaMikdash, just like the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. Thanks for joining us here at the Anshei Sefarad Beth Lameth congregation for our discussion of the Beis HaMikdash. Join us each week for the discussion of the holidays, Parsha, and more. And thanks to Jason Lefkowitz, our producer.
This has been 10 Minutes for Torah with Rabbi Joel Finkelstein. To learn more, visit asby.org.